One of the things that the Lord wanted me to make sure that you understand, because there is a misconception on the face of the earth. So I thought this was a little strange the way he gave it to me. He just wanted me to remind you that God is love. Now that sounds like such a simple thing, and we've heard it our whole lives. Any of you that have walked with God your whole life, you've heard it your whole life. God is love. But we make this walk with Jesus a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Because if God is love, and it's written He is love, then He loves us. Because that's His nature. He is not a God that's stuck up in the sky waiting to blast you because you have fallen short of His expectations today. That's not His nature. His nature is love. God is love, and He wants you to walk with Him. He's provided everything you need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, so you can walk with Him. We as a people are basically have a sin nature. It's contrary to God. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, because God loved us so much that He wanted to make sure we had a perfect opportunity to know the fullness of who He is and spend all eternity with Him, because that's what He desires for you, and that's what He desires for me. That's what He desires for all humanity. Is it going to happen? No. All humanity is not going to go to heaven, because many people are going to reject that love. But nevertheless, it is His desire that all men walk with Him. And He has provided a way for that to happen. All of us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, pink, yellow. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're short, tall, fat, skinny. Doesn't matter if you're born in Cambodia or Russia or Africa or the USA. His love does not change for you as a human being. He loves you. He wants you to walk with Him. That is His nature. Our text today is going to be out of John chapter 19, verse 30. I'm going to refer to that several times because I believe it's one of the most misunderstood scriptures that we have. Jesus, while hanging on the cross, bowed His head and said, "It is finished." With that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. So that's what the Lord Jesus is crying out to us today and letting us know. He prophesied that when He was hanging on the cross to all of humanity to hear. It is finished. I have paid the price so that you could walk with God. It is finished. You don't have to do anything else in all creation except believe what I've done for you. I've paid the price so you can boldly come to the throne of grace and receive help in your time of need. All of this stuff that plagues you constantly does not have power over you. That is Satan trying to separate you from the preciousness fellowship, the precious fellowship that we have received in Christ Jesus. He paid the penalty for your sins from now forevermore. It is finished. You can now walk with God. If you stumble today or you stumble tomorrow, it's still finished. Your sins are forgiven from first to last. The Bible says that He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. Now that scripture used to complicate me because I'm a pretty simple-minded person. I'm going, well, east is here and west is here. They're pretty close together. And then a guy explained it to me a little more correctly. All east goes through all eternity and west goes through all eternity. They cannot touch each other. Your sins are, choo! When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, poof, they're gone. You can't even touch them. They're just gone. Does it mean that you won't sin? That's not what I'm saying. We'll get to that later. So bear with me before I get to that. But the reason you can walk with God is because payment has been made for your sins. Today's sins, tomorrow's sins, next week's sins, they're finished. It is finished. He paid the price. If that were not true, then we wouldn't be righteous. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. July the 4th, 1776... the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence from England. declaring that we were a free nation with the ability to handle our own affairs and seek God in a manner we chose, without the king telling us what we must do. Even though it was declared for the whole world to see, the King of England did not recognize it until September the 3rd of 1782. Our freedom was spoken into existence in this country July the 4th of 1776. We didn't really receive the fullness of that till 8 years later. Much blood had to be shed. Even though they spoke it, a group of men spoke it into existence, it did not happen until full 8 years later, and much blood was shed. There was one that was holy, and he was spotless, without blemish. He walked a perfect life. He had the same human frailties you and I did. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That is why Jesus had to die for us, or we would be like they were the Israelites. We'd be having to sacrifice cows and things and sheep to come in the presence of the living God. But he willingly gave his life for us. His blood was shed so that we could have the same kind of victory that we have here in the United States of being a free country, that we could be free enough. The blood was shed so that you and I can walk with God. It was finished in 1776, and we became a free nation 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it was finished, and he shed his blood for us. Now we can walk with God. Some people will receive that, some will not. But it doesn't change the fact that the prophetic word that he spoke is true. It is finished. Whether you want to receive it or not, it is finished. He shed his blood for the purchase of all humanity. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, he gave the right to become a child of God." So that's what we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We actually became a child of the Most High God. Now, I don't know what your experience is in life. I don't know if you had a good father or a bad father. But our Father in heaven is perfect, and he doesn't make mistakes. And the Apostle John, right here when he wrote this, he said he gave you power to become a son of God. So power has been placed within your life for you to be a child of the Most High God. When you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you became that child. And since he's a perfect father, he won't make mistakes in your life. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things you shouldn't do. You're going to make decisions you shouldn't make. You're going to go down roads you shouldn't go, because that's the way life is, because we make mistakes. But a loving father is always guiding you back. He always has his hand upon you, and he's gently moving you back where you need to be, because he is a perfect and loving father. He does not make mistakes in your life. He only has your best interests at heart. He wants you to be free. He wants you to know that you're forgiven. He wants you to know that you can walk in the fullness of the living God. He has paid the price for you at Calvary, and he declared, "It is finished." Hallelujah. January the 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation became official, effectively abolishing slavery in the United States of America. Though the war would rage on until April the 9th, 1865. The African Americans were now free to speak, to seek their own destiny without fear of the government holding them back. In fact, they had the government's support to be a free people. Even though it was spoken into existence, the war raged on and there was much bloodshed before that victory was actually won. But he did speak it into existence. So one of the things I'm also speaking to you today is how powerful the spoken word of God is in your life. When God speaks a word in your life, it does not mean that that instant you might be free. But as you lay hold of the word that he spoke and you realize, oh my gosh, the Lord has just spoken something to me, it will change your life. It will actually change your countenance. It will give you health to your body, life to your bones. The Texans did not receive that until 2.5 years later on June 19th. That's why the black Texans celebrate Juneteenth is their holiday, because they didn't receive that word until 2.5 years later. It didn't change the fact that it had been spoken into existence prior to that, but that's when they received it. So my question to you is, when have you received the word of God that set you free? Because he's already said it's finished. Are you hanging something over your head that's trying to tell you, no, I'm not complete? Because Jesus said, it's finished. I paid the price. I've defeated the enemy in your life. He no longer holds you bondage. Those were slaves. Did you know that we were a slave to our carnal nature before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Did you know the thing that was held against us was the law of God, and we could not measure up? But Jesus came and fulfilled the law of God for you and me, totally releasing us from the captivity of slavery in our lives. We no longer have to be held in bondage and bow the knee to demonic forces that have held us in captivity and slavery to sin. Why? Because he freed us. That's what happened when President Lincoln spoke anti-slavery into existence in our country. It also happened to you and I when Jesus declared, it is finished. I paid the price for you to be free. When he got on that boat and he sailed over to that, I don't remember the city, Decapolis, I think it was. He sailed over to Decapolis, and the man was tied up by demon activity. Jesus spoke the word and the man was free. And he went out and started preaching the gospel. That whole region became Christianized because of that one man being undemonized. And that's a fact in your life. That is a fact in your life. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he said, it's finished in your life. I have done the work in your life. I have set you free from the pit of hell. The one that would hold you captive, the chains have been broken. You can walk free. No longer has power to control your life because what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 19:30. It is finished. You have been freed from the law of sin and death. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You have been given the power to walk with God. Sin no longer has to control your life. That has totally been smashed and broken. Nothing has to hold you back. Nothing can hold you back. If you will believe the living God on what has been said in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can walk free. June the 12th, 1987, President Reagan spoke a prophetic word when he said to Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. It didn't happen right then, but it was a proclamation that went forth. He said, tear down this wall. Now, we had had division for years. Our country was doing covert operations against their country. Berlin was split in half. Families were separated from families. They couldn't see their own kinfolk. 3 years later, the wall came tumbling down. The East and West were reunited. The wall had separated. The wall that had separated them was smashed. Communism was crushed. Now people were able to seek employment and gain wealth. Communism had held people as prisoners to an immoral system. They were now experiencing freedom. They had the ability to seek a bright future for themselves. Those who had been oppressed their whole lives were now free to seek their own destinies, even though not a shot was fired, not a bomb was dropped. November the 9th, 1989, that's the day the wall fell. The wall has fallen in our life, the wall of separation. Jesus came on the scene, and he spoke a prophetic word out of Luke 4:18. Standing in the synagogue, he stood up and he read these scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what he came to do. He came to fulfill that prophetic word that had been spoken years before. And now he's speaking it into existence right now. And he said, here I am. I'm here to do the work of the Lord. I am the one that was prophesied about. I'm standing right here in front of you. Those that put their faith in me will be set free. This wall of separation, I will tear down. You can now walk with the living God. You see, all humanity was locked up in sin and could not escape. There was none righteous, no, not one. Jesus spent 3 years of his life walking in the frail human body that God had given him. The Bible implies that he had all the frailties, the same frailties we had. That he had all the When I say frailties, what I mean is any temptation that attacks us attacked him. Attacked him. He was no different than you and I in his natural man. Yet he never did sin. He never did sin. If you've been bombarded with the most ungodly things you can imagine, Jesus was more so. He is very clear on what you go through. That's why the Bible says that he is the perfect high priest that does not have to sacrifice for sin over and over again. That one sacrifice was enough because he was perfect. He did not make a mistake. He did not sin. And then he willingly gave his life for you and me. He willingly walked up Calvary's hill and gave his life so that by us accepting him, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're totally clean. And when I was praying just a little bit earlier, I saw something I'd never seen before. This is going to sound kind of weird, so I'm going to go ahead and share it because it was a vision type thing. I was meditating, and you know, in the book of Hebrews where it says that Jesus is an anchor for our soul, and the anchor goes down right into the Holy of Holies, right into the inner sanctuary. See, that an anchor, if you're a boater or sailor, you understand that an anchor has a tether, and it goes up to the boat. And the anchor is put on the bottom, and it holds it steady. So you can have all the storms of the world just blowing all over the place, and that boat is somewhat staying steady because it's anchored to the bottom of the sea. It's not going to go anywhere. Well, Jesus is our anchor. And our anchor is set into the Holy of Holies, in the innermost holy place. So we're tethered to the most holy place that you can be tethered to, and it's got us. And all these winds and waves are blowing all around and trying to shipwreck our faith, but the Lord's not going to let go because we're tethered down into the most holy of holies. When we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said it is finished. And he meant it. And he's not going to let us go. So the storms can rage and all this stuff can go on in our lives, but that doesn't change the fact of who he is and what he has done. And he bought you at a price. He is not going to let you go. You belong to him. It literally says, Jesus said, I've never lost one of those out of my hand that the Father has given me. What you have committed to him is safe in his loving arms. He plundered the kingdom of darkness, but the grave could not hold him down. Why could the grave not hold Jesus down? Because he was perfect. He was sinless. The grave couldn't hold him down. Guess what? You are perfect, and you are sinless. One day we are going to put off this body, and we're going to put on a glorified body. Why? Because we're perfect and holy. We're going to put on this new body and we're going to be ushered right into the kingdom of God. Because of what he did, not because of what we did. Our righteousness does not depend on us. It depends on the one we believe on. He is the one that has paid the price for us. You are now free to walk with the living God. To get a better understanding of what He really did for us, you have to look back to the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, it talks about the procedures that had to be gone through. And they had an outer court. And the outer court is where most people would go, and they'd fellowship out there, go through the first set of curtains, and they could hear the things of God from a distance. And you might be at that place sometimes when you're hearing from the things of God from a distance and going, man, I like that. I would like to hear more, but I can't seem to get closer. And then they had the inner court, the second curtains you went through. It was known as the inner court, also the holy place, where priests were allowed to enter in that court. And then they were a little bit closer to God, but they still had sins and things that were separating them from the Most High God. And then they had the next court, the Holy of Holies is what it was called. And the priests could go in there only certain times of the year they could go. And they had to sacrifice for their own sins before they could even enter the Holy of Holies. So what happened when Jesus died, the Bible says that that curtain was rent from top to bottom. So now, remember that anchor I was talking to you about? That anchor for your soul is caught into the Holy of Holies. And you can march boldly into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because, you remember, you couldn't go in unless you were without sin or your sins had been atoned for. But Jesus paid the price for our sins, past, present, and future. So now your anchor is hooked into the Holy of Holies, and you can march boldly into the Holy of Holies any time you want and get help for in your time of need. You might say, well, Jack, you don't understand. I did this or I did that. That does not change the fact that God is not a liar. He is a truth teller. He bought and paid for your sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, any of those that have accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, I have given them the right and the power to be a son of the Most High God. That power doesn't cease because you stumbled yesterday, or you griped at your wife or your husband yesterday, or you cursed at the car that drove in front of you and you got a little mad, or you hollered at your kid unjustly. That doesn't change who He is and what He has done. You need to get that down deep in you. I am not preaching a license to sin. Please understand that. But I am preaching a license for you to know that it's finished. He paid the price. Nothing in all creation can change that. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can walk right into that. And that anchor stretches down into the Holy of Holies, and it's planted within there, and the Lord is watching over it. And the winds can come, the storms can rage, and all this mess can go on, but it doesn't change the fact that you belong to the Most High God. You are His child. He watches over His children. Now, He will use all those things that you might should not do to build character in your life. He'll use them. He'll bring them to your attention because He's a perfect and loving Father. A perfect and loving Father will not let His children run around and do whatever they want to do. A perfect, loving Father loves them enough to discipline them, get their attention, say, son, this is the way you need to walk in. He's always worried. Excuse me, I'm not going to use the word worried. He's always concerned with your character. He wants you to have good character. He wants you to love your fellow man as much as you love yourself. It's very important to the Lord. He wants you to show forth God's very nature. His very nature. Why? Because we are called to be the children of God. We are the children of the Most High God. So yes, it matters how we conduct our lives. But freedom comes from understanding what He's done, because then it takes all the pressure off you and it silences the enemy. Because the enemy, excuse me one second. as we heard earlier, runs around like a roaring lion to deceive you if possible. How does that deception come? The main deception that he throws at us most of the time is, you can't come back to God now. Oh, you've done it now. That wall of separation is up. God will never forgive you. Oh, well, you have to study the Bible 3 hours a day. You got to pray 2 hours a day, or you just ain't a Christian. He's going to tell you all sorts of these little lies that quite often sometimes will sound like it might be good. Well, maybe I need to. I don't pray enough. Maybe I do need to pray more. Well, all that's good to pray more, but when it becomes something you have to do to attain your righteousness or keep your righteousness or to be holy from God in front of God, it's hogwash. It's a lie from the enemy for one purpose only, to separate the freedom you have in God, to understand that you're free to move and breathe and have your being and be His child. He wants you to know how much He loves you. He wants nothing for you except for that you would prosper in His kingdom. Why? Because he's the perfect Father. And He loves you, and He gave Himself for you so that you could have that. One time when I was a young man of God, I was studying the Bible fervently, and I came across a scripture. I think it's John 6:30. Probably shouldn't shoot that from the hip, but I think it's John 6:30. And I went, God, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. And it said right there in clear print, the work of God is to believe on Him whom He sent. Did you hear that? That's the work of God. To believe on Him whom He sent. Who did He send? He sent Jesus. If you believe on Him, then everything starts changing in your life. We don't have to have all these rules and regulations to know and love the living God. Hallelujah. So to capture the magnitude of perfection that was required in the Old Testament, Leviticus 10:1, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Contrary to His command, so fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now that was the requirement to come into God's presence, to go in the Holy Holies. They authorized unauthorized fire in the Holy of Holies, and it just basically roasted them. So I'm going to give you a little piece of information. When you walk in front of God and think that you are holy by the way you conduct your life, that's unauthorized. Jesus has paid the price, guys. There's nothing you can do to add to that to make you more righteous in front of God. You can't do it. You are now in the Holy of Holies if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you try to add to that, you're doing the same thing that those two gentlemen did. And it destroyed them. God wasn't playing games then. He's not playing games now. He's offered us a perfect sacrifice. We make it way too complicated. Walking with God is not complicated. It's easy. He loved us. He gave Himself for us, so that we could have life eternal. And that has not changed. Hallelujah. So that curtain was torn from top to bottom. So now we are technically in the Holy of Holies. The veil in the temple was ripped. The separation between you and God has been forever removed. For by one sacrifice, He, Jesus, made perfect forever those who were being made holy. That's just an amazing scripture to me. He made perfect forever those that are being made holy. He made perfect forever. Can you say, I am perfect forever? Say it again. I am perfect forever. I know that that's alien to our human ears. It sounds practically blasphemous. But is that what the Word says? So all you're doing is reading the Word. I am made perfect forever. Say it again. That's not me, and that's not blasphemous. That's the Word of God. You're made perfect forever because your sins have been thrown from as far as the east is from the west. They've been removed from you so that you could walk with a living God. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless, get this, this just blows me away. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Wow, I mean, what? Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. You know, we know in 1 John it says, confess your sins, and he's faithful just to forgive you of your sins and restore you to all righteousness, right? But this says, your sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Well, once again, I want to balance that with, that's not a license to sin. That's not at all what that's saying. You missed the gospel entirely. There are people that do hear those kind of things and they think they can do whatever they want. That's not at all what the Lord is saying. If you believe that, then there's something wrong with your heart. You never really gave your heart to the Lord right. But if you understand, what freedom is that? I don't have to fear about making a stupid mistake. Because my Father in heaven is watching over me to make sure I'm going to make it. And that's how good of a God He is. And where there has been, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin, no longer necessary. Is no longer necessary. That's in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 18. A lot of people distort that scripture. It says, and where their sins have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. What that means is, Jesus, the one that has been sacrificed for our sins are all washed away, and they're all clean. There no longer needs to be a sacrifice for your sins or mine when we sin. Why? Because He, Jesus, took away the sins of the world for the believer. And if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been paid for. They're finished from first to last. There no longer remains a sacrifice for any future sins. Why? Because He doesn't remember your sins anymore. They've already covered under the blood. Now, in the natural realm, we still have to confess our faults one to another. That's very important. We have to confess them to God. That's also important. But that does not change the fact that spiritually that's done, but soulish realm, we have to do it to restore right fellowship with our brothers and sisters and with God Himself, because we'll get to where we don't hear God if we say, well, I can go live a life of sin and do whatever I want now because it's forgiven. That's not quite the way it works. But it is good news to know that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And you don't have to sacrifice things anymore. Some people believe that Scripture is actually saying, oh, now that I've been forgiven of that, and now that I've done it again, now I have nothing but certain expectation of judgment in front of God. That's not what that's saying. That is not what that is saying. The sin has been paid for. Hallelujah. That's why the Apostle Peter put it this way. You are a chosen people. This is 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a chosen person. It says, I'm a royal priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a royal priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a holy nation. Listen to this. Remember, Jesus bought us at a price with His blood. You were bought and paid for. You were bought out of slavery. You were bought out of slavery by His blood. You were bought at a price. It says, God's special possession. Say, I am God's special possession. You know how your life would change if you believed that? That you're God's special possession. My gosh. That's who you are. Now, the question is, remember the prophetic word went out 3 years before our nation became free, 8 years before, I got that reversed, 8 years before our country became free, 3 years before the slaves were free, 2,000 years Jesus spoke it into existence. But the fact of the matter is, the word is gone forth. You are free. You are God's special possession. You are God's special possession. The question is, when are you going to believe it? When are you actually going to believe that you are God's special possession? You know, the Bible says that, you know, when you find the kingdom of God, if you delight, you go sell everything, and then you come back and you dig in the field and pull up the treasure that you found, because you had to have that field. That's how it was when I came to God. I had to have Him. When I found out who He was, I didn't care. I had to have Him, because He was the one that spoke life into my life. He's the one that gave me peace. He's the one that gave me power to walk with Him. He's the one that forgave me of my sins. And then He says to you and me, you are my special possession. You were so special to me that I gave you my very best, my dear son. And He said, it is finished. I don't want you fretting. I don't want you fretting about all the things on this earth. Know that I love you. Know that I receive you. Know that I forgive you. Know that I will restore you. Because I'm the God in heaven that loves you, and I'm the one that paid the price so that you could walk with me. The demons of hell can holler and scream at you all they want. They don't have power over what He said. They don't have power over what He did in your heart. They can't separate you from the kingdom of God. Is that not what it says in Romans chapter 8? Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not demons, not principalities of darkness. Nothing. If you get a cancer, is that going to separate you from the kingdom of God? No. If you get a car wreck or you lose your job, is that going to separate you from the kingdom of God? If you get fired from your job, is that going to separate you from the kingdom of God? Guys, we got to get it down. We got to get it down. Because then when all those things I just spoke happen to you, it won't affect you. You'll just go, oh my gosh, God loves me. He's the one that watches over my life. What is going to happen? I'm going to take off this body. I'm going to put on a new glorified body. And then I'm going to be in His presence forevermore to serve Him and walk with Him. Because the things that He's done in me are eternal. The things that He's done in you are eternal. The price of sin has been paid for. Nothing in all creation can stop that from happening. Rejoice! And know that the Lord is for you. Rejoice and understand that. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about my sweet wife for a minute. There's this little girl I fell in love with many years ago, probably about 1972. On December the 7th, a day that'll live in infamy for me, but not because of Pearl Harbor, I made vows of marriage to my dearest Beverly. She had no idea when I made those vows how real they were. She really didn't. She didn't understand when I said, I will love you, I will honor you, I will protect you all the days of your life. You're secure in my arms. I will see that you have everything you need. I will provide for you. She didn't understand that because we're 22 years old. Young and stupid. You don't think you're stupid when you're 22, you're wrong. But it's okay. It's okay to be wrong because you have a Father in heaven that's going to guide you and direct you. And we that are older than 22, we need to remember that we were also young and stupid. But anyway, what I had committed to her, she had no way of knowing if it was truth or not. She wanted to believe it, but she was kind of raised from a very slightly rebellious background. So therefore, she wanted to do everything on her own apart from me. Well, that's not what marriage is about. But I'm steadfast because what I committed to her was truth. I wanted this marriage to last forever. I was determined and purposed that that's the way it was going to be. I was determined and purposed that my children were going to have a very solid home because I had come from a broken home And I did not want that for my children. I remember my baby boy, Sam, when he was about probably 9 years old or 8 years old, he came home from school one day with a paper, and I found this paper about 20 years after the fact. And you know how these teachers in public schools pry into your private lives. So the teacher did a deal where they pried in your private life. Something like, what would you do if your parents got a divorce? And then I found this paper that the teacher had to make, and Sam, in his understanding as an eight-year-old, said, my parents will never get a divorce. It doesn't matter if they hate each other or not. Now, that might sound rough, but in an eight-year-old boy's mind, my parents will never get a divorce. All fear was removed from his life. Because he knew he was safe under his parents' arms. He didn't have to worry about all that other junk that so many other kids have to walk through. Are you hearing me? Well, that was the kind of commitment I had made to my wife, that everything was going to be fine. Now, admittedly, first few years, we had quite a lot of fighting, quite a lot of reconciliation. But over time, she understood what I had committed to her was true, and it wasn't going to change. I even had her come to me one time and go, you think our race is finished? And I said, no, it's not finished. It's only getting started. We're going to be fine. We went through a really rough patch that stressed us both out. I said, no, it's not finished. We're only getting started. It's going to be fine, baby. I'm not going anywhere. What she learned later was she had total access to everything I owned, all the things, all the finances I had, she had total access to it. She had total access to everything that any wisdom I might bring to the table, she learned to rest under some of that wisdom over the years. She didn't have it originally, but she learned to rest under it. We learned to sit down and talk things out and get things hammered out. She learned that she could defer to me as man of the house, which was alien to her in the beginning, but she could defer to me and take all pressure off of her, meaning salesman or whatever the case may be. People hard to get along with the store, taking things back to the store. She could say, well, you need to talk to my husband. Are you in? Well, you know what we can say? You need to talk to Jesus. She could use my name to keep the children in line. She knew that if she made a mistake, she didn't have to fear that I was going to go anywhere. She didn't have to fear that. She finally, after time, realized, this guy's not going anywhere. He's in it for the long haul. She knew that as she grew older and her outward beauty faded, that my love and desire would not change for her. She understood that. Now we have the best marriage that you can imagine. We've been married 39 years, next December the 7th. And I'm not saying that to praise us. I'm saying that to make a point. What you have committed to your Savior, Jesus saying to you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I will always be there for you all the days of your life. He is God. I'm a man. I can lie. God cannot lie. It is written, He cannot lie. That which He has committed to you, He will watch over. If you're going to be flaky, He's still your daddy. He's still your daddy, and He's going to bring the things to pass in your life to mold your character and bring you where you need to be, where you will be a prosperous child of the living God. Because the Bible says all, listen to me, all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Well, how does that happen in our lives? It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by you hearing the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And then you embracing that Word and realize, oh my gosh, God has just talked to me. And when you start to realize those things, it will revolutionize your life. Because you can bank what God says to you. You can take it to the bank, is the old saying we used to use. Because He's not a man, and He won't lie to you. He is the perfect daddy. Like what I committed to my wife can rest under that and know I'm not going anywhere. we can rest under the mighty hand of God and know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. He has washed of our sins. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not. He says if you're faithless, He remains, because He cannot deny Himself. God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So my encouragement to you is today is to understand that the one who's called you out of darkness into His wonderful life changes not. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John chapter 13, verse 10, He made a very profound statement. This is Jesus. Made a very profound statement. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to have to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean." Your whole body is clean because of what Jesus has done in your life. And He talks about getting your feet dirty. What does that actually mean? Well, in that society, when somebody would come in their house, they would wash their feet because when they walked through the highways and the byways, they'd accumulate all this dust. Well, what Jesus is telling you here is sin does not have authority over you. It's not going to consume you. It's not going to overtake your life. Your righteousness has not changed, but you are going to collect some things on you that will need to be washed off from time to time. The purpose of that is to restore your right standing with God. Now, your righteousness is paid for, but our soul man can get separated from being in His presence, and then we can't hear His voice very good. So that's the purpose of confession. That's why we want to stay clean. So we do have a part to play. Hallelujah. Satan would have you believe that once you've sinned, you've lost the right to walk with God. That's not the truth. That's a lie. Jesus said it's finished, meaning He has paid the price. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one sacrifice Jesus made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Say, "I am perfect forever." And He's still working on our holiness, but "I am perfect forever." I believe that God is telling us that the reason we have to have our feet washed is confession of sin restores our minds to right standing with God and keeps the enemy from having power over us. We can let the enemy have power over us by simply believing that we are separated from God, that the price has not been paid. I've sinned too much. You are now free to walk with God, and nothing can separate you from that. Jesus paid the price. It is finished. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That is the power of the gospel. That is the reason you have fellowship with the living God, is your sins have been forgiven. And He's no longer counting them against you. That's why He said in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you are a people that have received mercy. We have received God's mercy. He wants us to accept that mercy on a daily basis. If you receive God's mercy, you're free to walk in the fullness of the living God. You no longer have to beat yourself up by falling short when you feel like you've fallen short of His glory. You can understand that I have the right to come into His presence, confess my sins, and receive His mercy. His mercy is for all of us, so we can walk free from sin. His mercy is not given to us so that we can be unmerciful to those people around us, because He desires that we emulate Him. Did I say that word right? Thank you. There's two words I get mixed up. One of them means fire, and one of them means emulate. Immolate and emulate. Please forgive me. I have my English dictionary right here. Hallelujah. And that's what we preach, is this message of reconciliation to Christ and your family. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is what we preach. I want you guys to get it. It is finished. Believe in the work of the cross for your life. Breathe it, teach it, and believe it. I have never in all my days, I've been walking with God over 30 years now, never in all my days seen somebody successfully walk with God with joy in their heart if they didn't believe this. If they think it's rules and regulations, all of a sudden they start stumbling. And then 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, they might have even been a mighty preacher man. All of a sudden they've fallen by the wayside and they're off in the ditch somewhere. Because they don't understand this principle. God has forgiven them. God has forgiven you. You can walk with God. We got it? That's the word I've got for you today. Thank you. I will stay for prayer if anybody needs any prayer. Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry, I'm not quite as... Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Yeah, give me just a second and I'll stir my heart. Is that okay? Can you pray softly? Play softly? We're going to ask God to give us a quick prophetic word, okay? So let me just seek the Lord for a minute. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for the washing of your word. We know that your word, Lord God, enters our hearts and change things and calls things into being that are not as though they are. Father, you desire that our soul man would come to understand how precious you are, to make it easier for us to walk with you. So, Father, I speak that life into everybody's life. Life in the name of Jesus. We receive your life eternal, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just receive it. We wash ourselves. We bathe ourselves in it, Lord God. I thank you for your precious word. Father, you love your saints. You love your children. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, Lord. Love you, love you, Lord. Ah, Father, just wash them. Wash us in your presence, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word this day. As we go forth throughout the week, Father, we depend upon your Holy Spirit to bring these things to our remembrance, Father, because you are wooing a people. We are a precious people, Lord God, belonging to you, a people that have received your mercy. Just bring it back to our remembrance and stir our hearts and our minds. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. You guys have a wonderful week. Thank you for bearing with me. Hallelujah.